Mañana.
Okay, go ahead.
In other words, what you're going to work on now is the comparison of the
right.
charts.
Right,
now,
exactly.
There is another chart that's in existence in the Sefer Pizmonim of the Israelis.
Uh-huh.
And their chart doesn't also go along directly with the chart that the Hacham Ashkar put together.
Uh-huh.
But the point is, now, for instance, just take Edelson and this for comparative sake. Some other time I'll be able to get you the other Pizmonim book. It's in the next building.
Oh, they don't have it. They don't have it here.
No, there's none in here.
Okay.
They'll be in the other building, and they're up in the library.
Okay.
Now, if just for comparison's sake, rust is a simple thing.
Right.
From the point of view that when there are eight basic makams to contend with,
right.
when they become more sophisticated in identifying notes in a makam. Or the transposed position of a makam,
uh-huh.
then they would have other names for it. First of all, each makam, each of the major makam, has a definite note to be played upon from beginning to end. The eight notes in the octave are definite. The starting and ending points are also definite. Like Russ would start from C to C.
Okay. Yeah,
okay?
I have the chart that you gave.
You have these charts. Good.
Right.
Now, when you get to this situation here, you have a Sigan Iraq.
Right.
In essence, they're both siga.
Okay.
This siga is the basic siga starting from the note D. Okay?
Okay.
Now the Iraq starts three notes below it.
But it's the same scale.
No. There is a variation in the second tetrachord. In the second tetrachord, it's what we call a definite bayat.
Uh-huh.
And the trick is, why is it that they transpose it into a lower starting point? Is because that you'll find the flavor of the music piece is going to be in the upper tetrachord, which happens to be in this area now, a bayat. Now, Umm Kulthum has a lot of very famous pieces in Iraq, and the essence of her themes revolve around bayat, which is the upper tetrachord, which is very effective kind of a thing. And this is the marvel of the difference in the scales of European music and the Oriental, not Oriental, the Arabic music. We have to call this Arabic music, not Oriental. Oriental, get to China, Batik. Okay? Here's the difference.
Okay, so can I ask you, so Siga would start, Iraq would start on a C, but it would really deal in the upper tetrachord.
No, it would start B-flat.
Start B-flat, so it's three notes lower, I'm sorry. Okay, but it would it be a B three-quarter flat or a B...
It's a B quarter flat.
B quarter flat. Okay. And so then what would make it different than Siga? I mean, how is it like
Bayat? Oh, the upper tetrachord will be of this effect, of these two, three, four notes. See these four notes?
Right.
And the interims between the notes, this would be the identical timetable in the upper tetrachord.
I see.
Bayat, in essence, when you take any of these, cut off the two tetrachords and just work with the first tetrachord. So I was identified by the first three or four notes only.
Right.
Every one of the makams is identified by the first three or four notes of the scale.
Right.
The rest of it, it's a question, the upper tetrachord is where you get variations. They crisscross each other. You can have bayat with the upper part being in a nahwan, or the upper part could be in a rust.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Sure.
In other words, with these four notes, or these four notes.
Right.
But that would be an identification with a little more sophistication. And many times they will refer to that makam in order to identify the upper tetrachord too. Like bayat, when they say bayat shuri, they could have the upper tetrachord becoming in Hijaz. That becomes bayat shuri.
Okay.
So you automatically say, when you tell the musician, I'm going to sing bayat shuri, he knows, understands automatically the upper tetrachord is going to be in Hijaz.
Okay.
Or much of his theme of this music, when he sings, it's going to be in Hijaz.
Okay.
And he'll come back always to the last noting, which would be the bayat system. We determine a piece of music, not by the way it starts, but the way it ends. What are the last three or four notes in the scale that was terminated? That is what we consider the piece to be the makam.
So even if a piece in the middle of it might go to another makam?
Many. That's the point of all Arabic music, is that you could sing scales and it would sound like melodic compositions.
Right.
But it's not so. It's just a question of variation of tetrachords of different makams.
Okay. So then what would... So how is Iraq like Siga?
Yes.
How is it?
Because the first four notes are identical in timetable as these four notes. E quarter flat, B quarter flat. From E to F is how far?
E three quarter flat, that's a three quarters.
From E quarter flat to F is three quarters. Yes. Exactly what you want to get. B quarter flat to go to C.
Okay. And F to G.
Then F to G is how much is there? No, how much is there between? A whole step. You're going to have a whole step between C and D.
Okay.
Et cetera. Now you transpose it. It's transposed.
Okay.
Any scale is transposed. What I'm trying to tell you as far as the Iraq is concerned, take just the first four notes of Siga, transpose them starting with B quarter flat.
And that's right.
Then the second tetrachord is not this tetrachord that you see up here.
It's a
tetrachord. Second tetrachord is the Bayat family.
Okay.
Right up here.
Okay.
Okay? That's its specialty. That's what identifies it so readily. Okay. All right?
All right, so that would, I guess that makes sense as to why they're so close then, is because
no.
they're like related.
Now here, in this situation, this guy is more, shall we say, sophisticated. But he may have caught a Hazan on that day that was singing a Siga in the Iraq area, in the subfamilies of the family Siga. The subfamily would be Iraq. He might have called a Hajjan on that day. He wanted to use a lot of Bayat, which means he's also using the upper scale, the upper notes of the scale a great deal. So the guy sang in Iraq. That he called, if you were to ask him, listen, catch me the next Saturday, the next year, what am I going to sing for here? He could be singing playing Siga, or he could be singing Huzam, which has an upper part of Hijaz. This is a Siga family.
Okay.
He just called him here. He wanted to identify it as Iraq. But is it true that every time you say Noah, it's only in Iraq, it's no other family of Siga? That's questionable.
Okay.
This now, when it's, in other words, when you put it under a title and it becomes very vague, then there is liberty here and room for the Hazan to do whatever he wants in that family of Siga.
Right.
There are families of Siga could have 10 different family variations. And so on. Yes, Aaron?
Sure.
He could have what's called Bastanigar. Bastanigar, where he uses the bottom Siga and the upper part could be Saba.
Okay.
But if he didn't, apparently here he caught a guy that sang Iraq. Right. So he said, oh, that day it's Iraq. But interestingly enough, I'm trying to show you the root of it is what? Siga.
Right.
So this is a camouflage, but it's easier for the Hazan because Hazan could do whatever he wants. Here he can't. He's already put in a definitive area. He could only say Iraq, which means. The upper tetrachord has to be Bayat.
Right. I mean, look at the other cases, like partial.
Wait, go down the line.
Okay.
Saba, Saba, we have no problems.
Right.
Now, here is
a question. Excuse me, why is Saba always connected with
circumcisions? Whenever you find a... Now, here is where Rabbi Macy Nolman is correct in his conclusions that every time you find a parasha which has a bunch of mizvot, you will find a Saba tied onto it. Notice, and you'll notice that in many areas where your Sala is, you're going to find a grouping of not only circumcision, this is coincidental, that's circumcision, but every place else you find a Saba, you're going to find that there are a system of laws that were given to the Am Yisrael.
Okay.
A system of laws in every area that you'll find the Saba.
And so the question is, why is Saba connected with mitzvah?
That we don't know. I mean, this is not Halakha Moshe Sinai. We don't know. It just happens that tradition adapted that format of a melody to identify with basic laws from the Torah, which is in itself very interesting. The same way, like you might tell me, why would you use a minor scale against a major scale? Why? Well, I mean, the drama in back of it may be more expressive. There is drama in back of this music, there's no doubt about it. It may be more expressive. And when you speak, interestingly enough, you'll notice also, if you come and pray on the High Holy Days, we use Saba in very, very intimate expressions of worship on the High Holy Days. You'll notice everything is in Saba. Furthermore, even our prayer is saturated with Saba on the High Holy Days. The Nishmat, etc., all that system in there, while we may sing melodies in other maqams, but the essence, the meat of the prayer itself, falls under Saba. That you, from Saba ramifications, could be many other maqams, but that doesn't matter. The point is, what is it expressing? And we find that kind of feeling, the same feeling that you get when you go from a major scale to a minor scale. So the minor scale is, it's like your mind wanders, becomes more... shall we say, a sense of delicacy to it, very fine threads of music in it, etc. The same system happens with Saba. Have a good day, fellas. Quarter of seven. Allah makon.
So like ajam is a very joyful.
No, no, it's not dry. Right? Not dry. It depends on the singer. You can make any makam become delightful because now music, actually, you're going to find even more so than just the scale is the rhythm. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll find that. No, no, you can't do that.
On the bench.
Mars! Listen, you better get a note from Rabbi Lieberman. You better run to Israel and get it. You're going to find that the expression of music, regardless of what makam it's in, is going to be dominated by the rhythms. Because the rhythms are going to give the sensuality and the feeling of what is trying to be expressed with the music. You could take any makam, and make it into a dance piece. So if you analyze, for instance, if you go to some of these groupings when they have the Arabic music, and if you'll notice how they use the rhythm, you lose thought of what the makam is, because you really doesn't matter what the hell the makam is. It's his rhythm that he's banging on. It makes it into a dance number. So are you questioning, is it the rhythm or is it the makam? Makam has nothing to do with it. It's his rhythm that did it. So also you find drama in expression in the prayers. It depends what you want to express, and that's the type of rhythm you will apply to the music. So really, you will find, interestingly enough, we have, for instance, three major parts in our Shahri Chabat, which we can't do in the Musaf. There's going to say Musaf. We can't do it in Musaf. We need the Nishmat business. The Nishmat business, each area has a different format of expression, has a different meaning, different feeling, a different kind of praise. So you have a Nishmat and a Kaddish and an Akdishah. These are our three major parts in which we use very heavy music. What do I mean heavy? We use extensive melodies, and we use... You'll notice always it's a more extended kind of a rhythm. It's not a chip-chop kind of a deal.
Right.
Eh? And in contrast, you have Shabbat Aniyim, which is a small kind of a ditty kind of setup over there. But yet it could have a very appealing kind of a melody too, because the Shabbat Aniyim is to express the meaning of it. In Hodaot, you'll always find it's kind of a rhythmic dance tune to it. Very kind of fast kind of deal. So Hembe said, Tom, you could express any makam you want, but it could be a very flavorful kind of piece of music, happy, joyous, etc., etc. Mamasrayim vaday, Mamasrayim we used to use, like, for instance, in general speaking, you'll never find a slow rhythm. You'll find a very rapid, quick kind of a rhythm in there that kind of wipes out the whole content of the meaning of a Mamasrayim, okay? Like when a guy really has been released out of jail, what kind of frame of mind is he in? Very gay, very happy, very quick, etc. So that there is where you use the drama of the pieces of music themselves. But, again, I tell you that you're going to notice that the drama doesn't fit just because of the melody. It's the rhythms that they keep using. And if you find a Hazan that, for instance, he is not aware that rhythm has to do something with wakening up the audience, he's going to feel that his audience is going to fall asleep after a while. If every kind of piece of music he chooses is a dull, monotone kind of a thing, they'll fall asleep on him, and his prayers will really have very little expression in them. It becomes a guy, oh, so when is he finishing? He's already been on there for 15 minutes. It takes 40 minutes to finish Nishmat Shahrid, but after 10-15 minutes, when it's dull, problem. Okay, now,
but you said like Nishmat, the Kaddish, and the Nakdish each have a separate meaning to it. How would you characterize that? How is Nishmat, what's different about Kaddish from Nishmat in terms of the character?
Well, no, each one has a very central expressive tone of what we try to worship God with. Nishmat Kol Chai is self-advertising. Nishmat Kol Chai is we're speaking about all the souls of the world that at some time or another will turn on to God only for their needs and for their blessings and for their worship. You've got Dar Kadash. Now we've come to the point now of realization that God's greatness is such and such, and now we bless Him with or praise Him with the most grandiose ways possible. And so we use melodic systems that are extensive, long, and so on, very expressive, very differentiating, very extensive in octave. It's not only, for instance, a a chord that we use, a tetrachord that we use only, you'll find that we'll jump from one to two and sometimes even to a third tetrachord to give the expression of the music because of the grandiose of God's blessing at this point.
And in Ishmat you won't necessarily be as expansive in the scale?
You will be expansive in a different manner. As a matter of fact, really, they're almost duplicating systems, the Nishmat and the Kaddish and the Kedusha. Because what you'll find very often that the same allotted of pieces could be applied to either of the three systems.
Okay.
Either of the three pieces. Yet other pieces of music, for instance, Shav'at Aniyim or Ila Da'ot and Sami'im Seitam and so on, you cannot even take those pieces of music and try to apply them to Nishmat. It won't fit. It would be all sound like you're flat. Or all of a sudden you're repeating the phrase of music again and again, which creates monotony. You can create monotony even in two phrases, in two lines. You could create monotony. So we wouldn't even be using those pieces. Interestingly enough, the large pieces of music we use for Nishmat, or large, I mean it's more expressive, more variant. The one you use in Nishmat, the one you use in Kaddish, the one you use in Kedusha, you can't squeeze it into a Shabbat Anim, you can't squeeze it into an El Hoda'ah, you can't squeeze it into a Imam Misraim, because the feeling isn't the same, the meaning isn't the same. So why apply such a heavy piece of music to something like Shabbat Anim, or Imam Misraim, and so on? The meanings of the paragraphs that we are identifying in musical form, more expressive musical form rather, with a melodic form, actually, that's what it comes down to, depends on what its contents are. So that's where we have a variation. Okay, now let's go down with the chart here.
Okay.
Here he used Idelson, used Nahwand.
Okay.
Okay, Nahwand is a family identification of a maqam. This is the minor chord, okay? Here, Rahal, the two Rahal is a kind of a system that has it this way. The true Rahal, actually, nobody can identify this scale. Nobody knows what the scale is. So what happens is the following. Some Hazanim move it over into Nahwand. Some. As a matter of fact, the majority of them. Yet the true Rahal is a very peculiar scale and is a very identifiable scale. It starts from lower G, the true Makam of Rahal, starts from a lower G and is part of the Rust family.
Okay.
So already there's a problem. Not only that the ending of it is in the major scale. The upper part of the scale of the Rahal is in the major scale. So it really goes from low Rust into an Ajam in the upper tetrachord.
Okay.
But nobody sings it that way. Nobody is aware of it, that is in existence, the true Rahal. The Rahal that we adopted and emasculated and transformed, really, came out to be a form of a Nahwand that's rather than being from the transposed lower scale of the G, it came out to be in the higher G.
Mm-hmm.
And we put a Nahwand to it. We use that as a base for a Nahwand.
Okay.
So actually,
so it's really a different kind of Nahwand.
Actually, there is a misnomer in here. This word Rahal should never be in existence because nobody knows what it really means. Nobody takes the trouble or time to know what it really means. Unless you write no written music, then you will find that this thing, they don't even sing anything near it. Nothing. It's being used as a label, but nobody knows what it is.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right.
So what they do is they apply Nahwand to it.
Any different type of Nahwand or the same Nahwand?
No, just Nahwand. And Nahwand is a generality. As a general theme, you could use anything within the narrative. You can do jazz with upper tetrachord, you can do bayat in the upper tetrachord, and so on. But I'm trying to tell you that they hear why they use Rahal is a very peculiar thing. They must have caught a couple of melodic songs in Nahwand that the upper scale, part of the scale is a high Nahwand, and then they adapted some other systems of tetrachords that really they can't even identify. Now, for instance, I think the Pizmonim book has a Rahal system, but none of these songs matches other than scales and musical scales.
Okay. How can we tell? Just look for a particular makam?
Wait a minute. It has to have a Rahal someplace. Right? Take it easy now. Okay, this is Ashiran.
Oh, yeah, Rahal.
Okay, this is Rahal. Now, here what he does is he's a Rahal Nawa. Nawa is the middle G. That's Nawa.
Okay.
Okay? Did I give you a chart of the name of the musical notes in Arabic?
Yeah, I didn't bring it. Yes.
That, no, no. Yeah. No, I want you to be aware of it, why it's important. Right. Okay. Where you look at, you find the word Nawa, okay, you'll find it's the middle G.
Okay.
Okay? Now, here's this song. Let's take this 359, and I'm going to show you that the melodies and their scales, therefore, don't even match. One has nothing to do with the other. And so you stop and wonder, where the heck did they get this label from? Look at this.
This says Pesach? It's
no, it doesn't mean anything. That they use this Pesmon and Pesach, of course, has the contents of it, has words that have to do with Passover. So it goes like, Emunim Erchu Shebah La'el Betubhu Tebah Va'amartim Zebah Pesachu La'adonai. Now it's an ajam, okay? There's the ajam part of the true rahal. The true rahal, the upper part scale, is an ajam. The bottom would be a ras. But if you'll notice, there's a very small scope of melodic music here. You could almost write the whole song within four or five notes. Okay? Now look at this. Look at this one here. Ben Elize Bulbarani. Hashab li lebi aldu khani ra 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 la 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 la. It happens to be bayat. Da 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 da. That has to be now one from the Nawa. Friday night we sing what they say, what they want to call a Nawa. But they don't sing Nawa. Actually, they're singing Nahwan from the Nawa note, the G note.
Right.
There's a Nahwan there. The other song I showed you was an Ajam. Mm-hmm. This shows you here, it's a Nahwan from the Nawa note. So how do these become comparative?
Right.
Apparently what they've taken is, they've tried to label this. Rahal. As the second tetrachord of A scale. I don't care which one you want to pick, but the second chord of A scale, and in it could have either Nahwand or could have Ajam, that second tetrachord. Now, what is the first tetrachord? Nobody knows. As it happens Friday night, the first tetrachord happens to be Bayat. The lower tetrachord is Bayat, the upper tetrachord is Nahwand. And there, people want to identify, oh, he's singing tonight Bayat. What do they sing on Friday nights? Nawa, rather. What do they sing at? Nawa. Now, here they want to call it Rahal Nawa. He called it Rahwan. He shouldn't. Nahwan is what they actually singing, because that's the only thing they could really identify with.
Right.
But they cannot identify with the Makam Rahal, because they really don't know what it is. Technically, they don't know what it is. That's what I'm trying to point out to you.
But
so that this fellow that said Nahwan, he's better off living it in Nahwan, not even using the word Rahal.
Right. Well, I mean, this classification here is from this book, Rahal Nawa.
Yeah, but I'm showing you one. Now right. I'm showing you something that right. The songs here under right. Rahal,
right?
The musical scale are not identical.
Not really
you try to write the musical scales on these,
okay?
And you're going to find that there's no identification because a makam has an identifiable scale. In other words, it's identical. Whenever you're going to sing this makam, the notes are the same. They're not changeable.
But why did they put Rahal here?
Because they didn't know how to read and write music. Can't you understand?
Okay.
None of these here people know how to read and write music.
Okay.
None. Everything was by ear. And in Syria or in the Arab countries, they still teach the majority of their music by ear. They can teach the lute by ear, makam by ear, etc. But we have hazanim here. Some of them they claim themselves as the greatest hazanim in the world. They don't know how to read music at all. Not one iota. I think of the whole community here, there's only one hazan that really knows how to read and write music, and that's El Nadaf. Outside of him, every schnook that ever came knows not how to read nor write music. That's the problem there.
Okay.
So that if I were you, although this is written like this, Rahal, he may be using some of those melodies in the Rahal system. Maybe. But the point is that is how to identify it, you wouldn't know how to write the scale.
Okay.
You see, I'm talking in terms, can you write the scale? Then you know what the makam is. You can't write the scale, then you don't know what the makam is.
Okay.
And I'm saying to you that the how, nobody knows how to write the scale, but because the real scale happens to be in the Rust family. And it is transposed to lower G, and the ending of it on the upper part of the scale, tetrachord, is a major scale.
Okay.
Hebanta?
Hebanta.
Okay. Now let's get rid of this thing here. Okay. Hijaz and Hijaz, you have no problems.
Right.
Now, Mahur really is a technical term describing one of the makam, a makam of Rust.
Okay.
Now, Rust really is Mahur, with one little particular difference. That when you identify to a musician and tell him, I'm singing Mahur, it means you're going to start your song from the eighth note in the octave, the high eighth note in the octave. And you're going to find that the music always start, if that's a song or a pizmon or a melody or whatever you call it, from the upper note of the scale, of the octave. You start in the tar. So that's called Mahur. Meaning like this, that the system of the song starts with the highest note in the scale, eighth note, and would come down and stops there.
Okay.
Now, in other words, let's say they say C to C, you're using the higher C. Okay, that's what Rust would be.
Okay.
Starting with higher C. Supposing I start from C, the lower C, and go up all the way up, and come down again, but come back to the end of the C, that's pure Rust. But supposing I start from the low C, and I end up in the last C, the high C, what is it called?
Rahul?
No, they call it Kirdan. Why is it that in certain systems they have these quick identifications to tell them Kirdan, or they want to tell them I'm singing Mahur? Actually, you're singing Rust. What are you giving the guy a headache?
Right.
But the only all you're doing is you're identifying to the people, listen, when you're playing your intros, give me that high note so I can kind of judge myself where the heck I'm going to start.
Right.
You see, a singer also needs to line himself up vocally with the people that are playing the instruments. And in essence, all of the Arabic instruments, if you'll note, are built only around the capacities of a voice. You don't find any of these crazy systems where they go two octaves higher or two octaves lower than the average person can possibly sing.
Right.
It's not so. The instruments are built around the voices of human beings. So if he tells them Kirdan, or he tells him Mahur, the musician automatically is going to pluck that note where the singer has to start his melody with. That's the identification. So when he says Mahur, now, it's possible to, for instance, why would a Hazan need certain information like that, for instance? Because we have seven melodic pieces in the Nishmat area. You'll notice this is really built up on the Nishmat prayer, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where we're using these makams, right, in the Nishmat.
Right.
You could build an entire prayer with these specific melodic pieces and find seven different melodies starting from the high note C and coming down to the low C. You could. And they should all be different than each other.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay. All right, so Rost, we described, has one name if it goes up and down, another name if it starts up and ends
from
up.
From the top to the bottom, it's called Mahur.
Mahur. And if it starts at the top and goes down,
it's... No. From it starts on the top, comes down, it's called Mahur.
Right.
That's what Mahur is.
Okay, and what's Kurd?
Kirdan. No, not Kurd. Kirdan. K-I-R-D-A-N. Kurd is something else.
Kirdan
is when they start from the bottom C and end up on the top C with the melody ending on top.
Yeah, do all the other scales, like Ajam, Nawan, Bayat, do
they should have
names?
They should have. But who's taking the trouble to identify those? Yeah, I'm trying to tell you. The area here is so vast that it's not really even funny. I mean, really, it's encyclopedic. There are 132 makams, 132. And if everyone had to be identified, which is what happens when you start from the lower scale, and what happens when you start top scale, it's one system. So instead of you would have 732, it's already 264. Very acute. Now, supposing in the intermediary, I switch one of the tetrachords. It has a different name already. Like playing Bayat usually has a Nahwand or a Rust on the upper tetrachord. Where if I put Hijaz instead of Rust or Bayat or Nahwand, it becomes Bayat Shuri. So this could be done with any makam.
Right.
Any one makam could have four names, six names, times 132, you've got over 1,000 makams. It's not necessary. You see, because after a while, you will realize that the individual and the instrumental parts just interlace with each other according to the capacities of the singer, according to the capacities of the musician. In other words, their variations depend on each other in a way, so that they really don't have that much a necessity of identification. Because you can get also a musician and say, hey, listen, I want to see Cardan. Says, what the hell are you talking about? I don't know what's Cardan. I don't know what you're talking about. So it doesn't matter anymore. Main thing is know what's the basic. Okay, you go from there. Ajam and Gurkha. Now look, Gurkha is part of the family of Ajam. Ajam is really, the Maqam Ajam would start from B flat. But you take it up to the F. They start calling it Gurkha. But it's Ajam. It's the major chord. It's only transposed.
Okay. So you start on F rather than B flat.
Right. Exactly. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is a situation where he says Saba or Siga for this guy. It depends on what parasha comes out on that day. Because sometimes there are variations of parashiyot on certain days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or what precedes it, what comes after it. There may be a holiday coming in right after that particular Shabbat or whatever it might be.
I guess like Hanukkah would come up around here, right?
Well, I don't recall, whatever it might be, but I'm trying to tell you, usually look out. Because in that week, something could happen that's not usual.
Okay.
A holiday would fall in or whatever it might be, so they would change the maqam in order to fit the musical pieces that have been created around that particular holiday and fit them into the prayer of the Sabbath before.
Okay.
This guy chose to say Iraq again. Again, he went to Iraq.
Right.
I don't know why he keeps using Iraq. But it's, if you'll notice, it would automatically fit hand in glove with Siga.
Right.
Okay, and then you have Rahau. Now, one, the same business, like up here, and over here, he called it Rahau. Now, this guy's Rahau, it might be very interesting if you'll notice his scales, his musical scales. He may possibly have written a rust bottom tetrachord with an Ajam upper tetrachord, and also transposed. That he might be, Indelson now here might be very interesting. If he really is sure of what he wrote there.
Right.
Understand what I mean? Now that would be a fascinating thing to look up.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that. That's very interesting.
Sigan, Sigan, no problem. Bayat, Bayat, no problem. Hajaz, Hajaz, that's all. Okay, now, you notice here, you notice Jacob's death. Anytime we have something sad, melancholy, coming up in a prayer, in the Torah system, which also, this, by the way, is reflects the contents of the Torah reading. This makams usually would reflect, like Saba would, and so on. Hajaz is one of those things that reflect a sad situation.
And how about Bayat? What does Bayat usually convey, and why
won't Bayat is like a general station where anything can take off from Bayat. If you'll notice here, Bayat has the biggest game area than anything else. From Bayat, you could go into Sabah, from Bayat, you could go to Kurdi, Bayat, you could go to Hijaz. And interestingly enough, it doesn't have to be like from this system to here. In other words, I wouldn't have to sing the soul scale, come down here, and then jump into the next maqam. But actually, you take any of these four first notes and transpose them to this area, the Bayat could have on the top of it a Hijaz, it could have a Kurdi on top of it, it could have a Sabah on top of it. Or the other system. In other words, Hazan, if he started a prayer in Bayat, he has so much variables that it's fascinating. It depends on his know-how and his capacity to be able to change. He could go the up and down system, meaning like this. He could go from Bayat to Sabah to Kurdi to Hijaz just from the note D. Or he could, starting from the second tetrachord, he can go Bayat, make it a Hijaz. You can go Bayat, make it a Kurdi, Bayat, make it a Sabah. Not only that, more interesting than that, he has the capacity, which is the usual Bayat, by the way, when you analyze this, there is usually here the first four notes of the either Nahwand or Rust. And what you call normal Bayat, it is the tetrachord, the bottom tetrachord as you see it, and it's always with the duplicity of either the first four notes of Rust and Nahwand, and they both are called just plain systematic Bayat. Meaning that a musician can, at this point, cannot say whether the singer is going to use the upper tetrachord in Hwand or Rust. But they're so close to each other, it really doesn't make that much difference. To make a little squeaky note on a violin, go from E chord to flat to E flat, It's no big deal.
Right.
Understand? So they don't even, in other words, they don't have two names for plain bayat. Plain bayat could be it with rust on top or with nahwan, because it makes no difference. One quarter, no difference. It makes no difference. But you use this, and you start using hijaz. I mean, just look at the complexity of the first four notes here. Add it on to these.
Right.
It definitely has to be identified. So that's where I say bayat shuri.
Okay.
Already the musician has to be alerted. Hey, get your fingers straightened out and know where your music belongs on your strings.
Right.
All right? So bayat is a rather, why is it a favorable? Now, the nest, if you'll notice, the systematic nest of the development of Arabic music is this system. Rust, bayat, sabah. No, I'm sorry. It's Ras Bayat Siga. If you take these three and overlay them one over each other, you'll notice that the notes are identical. Absolutely identical. If I take the C from the Rust, eliminate it, and just go from D, E quarter flat F G A, B quarter flat C, and just add this D once again here, I get the Bayat. Identical. Let me drop off the D from the bayat and start with E quarter flat. Go straight ahead and add the E quarter flat to the end. It's the octave of the Siga. So they're interbuilt. Rust, bayat, and within the bayat is the Siga. So this is the what they really identify this as the Rust system. What is the difference between European music and Arabic music? The Rust system. The Rust system is the one that gives you the three quarter notes.
Right.
Which you don't have in European American music.
Right.
Otherwise, you're back to here. You're back to Hajam, you're back to Nahwand, you're back to Kurdi. These are European melodies, scales, and the Hijaz. Kurdi, Hijaz, Nahwand, and Hajam are European. Okay? Okay, then, what do we have here? Now, also here, there's an if, rust or bayat. Also, there depends on something that comes during that week. I don't know what it is, whatever it might be, but there is a variance in here. He has just rust. He didn't catch on to the differentiation, and I'm not surprised, because really, the most sophisticated maqam usage was in Aram Soban, in Halab. And you should know that the essence of their learning was out of Istanbul. The maqam system from Turkey. Yeah. After all, it was part of Turkey. Aram Sabah, Halab was part of Turkey for over 400 years. Nakhon?
Mm-hmm.
They got their best music out of Istanbul. Interestingly enough, some of the greatest musicians that were in the king's court were Jews.
Hmm.
And by coincidence, in Mexico, I met one fellow by the name of Beracha. And I studied a little oud with him and music. He had played in the court of the Sultan, and his father was the main musician in the court and the King Sultan in Turkey. Now, Turkey fell apart after World War I, right?
Right.
That means his father and his grandfather were both musicians in the courts of the Sultans from like the 1850s, 1840s.
Wow.
And he was third generation musician already, that he played a little bit in Turkey, then he said he's going to look for his fortune in other parts of the world, and he left. But I'm trying to tell you that Aram Soban, Halab, got a lot of its know-how and melodies from Turkey, from Istanbul, which is actually like saying, I'm going here to Washington, D.C.
Right.
What's the big deal? Because it was part of Turkey, so it was Palestine. By Palestine, there were no people in it. Yeah, I mean Jerusalem, there were no people in it. Okay? Husseini.
Now, you would never repeat, like you wouldn't have Shmot, for Parsha Shmot, Rust, and the next week for Vayera, you wouldn't also have Rust, would you? Would you ever repeat
You mean
Rust?
One, 2 weeks back
right.
to back?
Yeah.
No, there wouldn't be such a deal. There really would not be. If there is, then there's something wrong. Because then, first of all, then they start, if those that know will take the book and throw it at the Hazan. It means that he doesn't know what he's doing. How can you pray Rust last week and pray Rust again today? Not only that, you're going to find that even when he's singing Rust, it's not the same Rust. Let's say you have six Rusts in
right.
here.
Right.
Not
right.
one Rust system will be like the other in all of the right. of the
you
singing.
You could use different melodies.
That's all it comes out to.
Right.
There is your capacity of know-how. What variances do you have, and how much variety can you adapt to it, so that each one becomes a self-made rendition It's a concert in itself. That's what makes a Hazan interesting. But if he's going to repeat the same identical system every time he opens his mouth, it's the same Ras or the same Bayas, oh, I heard him already, this guy. He's monotonous, he doesn't know nothing. Problem. Okay, and again, he uses his Siga with Iraq system. Okay, he loves Iraq, this Idelson. Yeah. Ajam with Ajam. Hussaini with Siga. Now, here is a total variance. These are already two different families. Now, Hussaini is again, there is such a thing as a Maqam Hussaini. But that's not what this Pizmonim book means, nor does this chart mean. Hussaini here really means the Bayat system, Maqam Bayat, but they're going to start the song from the note Hussaini. Just like here, he's going to start the song from the note Mahur. The eighth, the Hussaini is the fifth note.
Okay.
In the Bayat system.
Okay.
So where's like Bayat here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This A, if you'll notice, has a name, and the name of it is Hussaini.
Okay, Saba and Saba.
Saba and Saba. Again, he uses Hussaini here, but this could be any form of Bayat, the truth of the matter. Now, you could pick 5, 7 songs that all start from the fifth note.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you find a Hussaini in the Pizmonim book. And our Pizmonim book, he doesn't mean Maqam Hussaini. It means start your song at the fifth note. Now, truthfully, that's a great creation. Why is it a great creation? Because very often, because I use the same system myself, if I want to quickly recall, where do I start the melody from on this piece of music? What note is it on?
You know where Bayat starts, you see
right.
The fifth note.
Exactly. Yeah. For the visual thing, it's the quickest message that,
right.
Regulate your mind to go up to the fifth note,
right.
And start your melody. And so in other words, if you open your mouth and you start at the fifth note, you may not remember the melody, but sooner or later it's going to come to you. I mean, it better come sooner than later, but it's going to come to you. But supposing the guy gets stuck, he's the name of the melody, the name of the pizmon, but where the heck does it start? The fourth note, the second note, the first note, the fifth note, where does it start? That's a problem. So for myself, as far as I find that if I have simply numerical identifications to each piece of melodic music, it's easier for me. And there is my mind is guided towards those notes to start a melody. Okay. Right there, Sigas, Sigas, Hajjaz, Hajjaz together, Hussaini and Hussaini again. Rahav Nahwan now became duplicity of all the others.
Now, what did this mean here? If you have a double parsha, Vayakel Pekudei?
Oh, yes. Now, when we have them separate, we need two makams. If they're
right.
Split,
right.
You're going to need two makams. How do you apply it?
Right.
If they're together, what do you apply?
Right.
So it's a question of choices.
Okay. What is mechobrot?
Mechobarot. Mechobar. Mechobar.
Tied
together. Lechaber.
Together.
Tied together. Vayakel Pekudei mechobarot is Bayat.
Oh, so when they're tied together, it's Bayat.
Right.
Oh,
here
I see.
It is.
And you would really explain what the connection would be, because Hussaini really starts on Bayat.
Right.
And part of Rahau is really related.
It's not, well, it's really, they use all Nahuan for the second, for Rahau. They shouldn't even use Rahau. Don't forget about it. Yeah, and I got news for you. Over here, they have many songs that are misidentifiable altogether. You have in the Rust family, in the Rust family, they have so many songs that are pure ajam that it's not even funny. And the only reason is because nobody knew how to read and write music. Now, if you'll stop and notice, if you were transposed this ajam to C, transpose it to C, you're going to find that the whole damn thing depends on a quarter note.
Right.
So when you hear it, sometimes after a while, you really can't tell if it's ajam or rust. If your voice is inclined to sing Arabic music, you're going to take the half notes, make them quarter notes. You know, it kind of slurs itself to going into a quarter note system. So as far as they're concerned, they can take any major song, ajam, like this, and turn it into a rust.
Right.
Anyone.
Right.
You see? Saying, no, what do you mean? This is rust. Yeah, but it's not. Where did they pick up those melodies? You'll notice all of these this morning. They picked them up from the military bands. All those melodies though came from military bands. Sousa, Shmuza, and all those guys, the French bands, because you notice now that's when France went into Syria and into Aleppo, etc. and they were playing there, and the English people in Palestine and in Jerusalem were playing their band, their musical bands. It was the military bands that were bringing forth melodies, and they were copied into Pismonim.
You're talking about, that explains most of the Rust songs, is the military bands?
I'm saying that, no, the military bands had only ajam.
Right.
The major key, they all had major keys. They didn't have quarter notes in their tubas. They had quarter notes in tubas? No, absolutely not. But the ones that picked up the melodies said, oh, that's Rust. Yet when you sing them, and if you didn't know that there is such a thing as a Rust or ajam,
right,
you, as an American student of music, say, oh, that's pure ajam. It's a major chord. There's no quarter note in there. So here they have also a mistake. They have pushed in songs that were ajam and put them under the title of Rust. You can't find a quarter note in that music, though.
All right, so you're saying the military band music is what's classified as Rust. I mean, like Seagum, Bayat.
Yeah,
those
aren't some of them, right.
Are military
some
band
of them
songs
have taken, they're military songs. Uh-huh. They have taken them, and when they learn them and put words to those melodies, they call them Rust, under Makam Rust, but they're not Rust. They're ajam. You sing them over here, they're all Makam ajam. But nobody has gone through the trouble of readjusting the book here, because nobody knows how to read and write music. Writer. Okay, now all these are simple. Simple, Bayat, 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 now one, Iraq, okay, same thing. Hajaz, Hajaz, Sabah, Sabah. Now, here he's got Sigah Hussein, and he's got Ashiran. Ashiran is another screw up in here. Let me show you that book. Because isn't it rare that out of, let's say, 50 systems, one is called Ashiran sure. all of a sudden? Right. Where'd you get this? I mean, this is really a very sophisticated piece of makam. Where'd you get Ashiran from?
From Middleton.
Yeah, no. Here they have it too. They have Ashiran in here. Middleton would have known better, for true, for sure. And look at this. This is Sigah or Husseini.
Right.